B-Pod Studios.
Hello, boys and girls.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm in Encino, in a guest house of a house in Encino. I'm flying solo right now, bro.
Are you really, dude?
Yeah, man.
Where is she?
Only one man. What? Only one man, dude.
Where is she?
Where? Yeah. She's not present at the time, but I'm just grinding, man. I'm working.
Oh, really?
What are you doing up? What time is it?
I'm on the radio.
I'm on the radio. So you talk about Oil Can Boy today?
98.5, The Sports Hub. That, of course, from our Charlie Sheen interview, where we went through Charlie Sheen's phone and Lenny Dykstra picked up. He seemed to be pretty with it.
And we found out, like, 2 weeks after that, that he had gotten, I think, arrested for taking copper and fixtures out of a home that was no longer his. Like, I think he had sold the house, but he tried to steal the fixtures so he could sell them later on.
Well, you could tell that there's not a lot of furniture in the house he's in. I mean, there's like an echo for days.
Right, so why we call? Well, we called him. He might have been committing such crime.
And by the way, the next time you listen to Jim Cramer on Mad Money, just know that he held up Lenny Dykstra as this guru of the market. And just so I can't believe he still has a job.
But oh, man.
He was saying that Lenny Dykstra, he owned car washes.
We hadn't played that interview since it happened because we weren't allowed to. And at the anniversary show last week, we unearthed it. And so I was listening back to it. And the Lenny Dykstra part, I remember him being a little out of it. But, man, hearing back, he was already messed up. And that was 2011
sure.
at the time. So hearing that and also his name pop up in the news recently – got me kind of thinking, what has Lenny Dykstra been up to? I mean, if he was kind of in bad straits then, I wonder how he's doing now. And man, things have just spiraled. Like, he is doing some really weird stuff. He was all over the news at the beginning. No, it wasn't even the beginning of the year. It was maybe like 2 months ago. Because I guess he had moved. He said he was in Encino right there. And I guess he had moved to New Jersey, in which he went into this neighborhood that's like a quiet neighborhood and found this like small house and was renting it out to like seven people. And apparently like there was drug deals happening in the front of this house. This is like a normal, nice neighborhood.
Right.
And there were people who were like dealing drugs in front of the house and strange people coming in and out. So finally someone from the town had to come by and they realized that he had broken like 17 different laws as far as renting out. It was like each room had its own individual lock, which he did not have any kind of key to. The conditions were awful. And then I guess that one of the newspapers there went with him and they took him through the house and they called it like a house of horror. So he's been in a bad place. And then there was stuff like this. So Lenny Dykstra did an interview recently with Colin Cowherd. I love Lenny Dykstra. I would love to have him on because the dude's had crazy, crazy stuff happen.
He's still crazy.
Including this, which I did not know from his baseball days.
I heard stories. You used to keep a book on umpires. You were very smart that way.
Well, a little more of that.
What'd you do?
I said, I need these umpires. So what do? I just pulled $500,000 out and I hired a private investigation team. Follow them. Their blood's just as red as ours. Some of them like women, some of them like men, some of them gamble, some of them do whatever.
You had PIs tracking umpires through your career or just a few years?
No, through like when after I got the money, you know, when I was trying to get the money.
No, he didn't. He's making this thing up like there is no tomorrow.
You don't think he would do that?
There's no $500,000 to have a guy fall around to see if he's cheating on his wife.
Okay. $500,000 might be an exaggeration.
No.
But I think he might have gotten Shady Magoo.
He might have had one of his dopey friends, like, you know, go to the hotel.
Hey, this guy's totally gay.
Like,
use it against him.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do?
He's gay.
Like, what are you going to do?
Well,
like, you're up, and you go, hey. You're gay. And then the guy goes, don't tell anybody.
Ball, take a base.
Exactly. Don't tell anybody. Like, what are you going to do with that information? Like, Lenny, how was the game? The umpire, gay is a French horn. There.
Because that's, first of all, just to even get to that point where you think that
he's
bat like, crap insane.
Oh yeah. He's sitting there telling stories. Yeah, this is
See, I wouldn't put it past him that he actually did it, but as I said, the half million, whatever. No, he got like his friend.
He probably had one of his
Bucky.
Dopey friends. Like,
right.
Hey man, the police is really sus.
Follow him to his car.
See, I think that it was more of like he's getting credit for keeping a book on umpires, and then he's like, I'll raise you private investigators. Because I don't understand what the payoff is.
He's going to tell you.
All right. Well, I would love to hear it.
It wasn't a coincidence you think that I led the league in walks the next 2 years, was it?
So you really think...
I don't think. I know.
Did you bribe him?
No. His fear does a lot to a man. Hey, so did you cover last night? He called a strike. Oh, I don't think you heard me. Did you cover the spread last night? Next. Zzzz.
Have you told anybody else's?
Yeah, this is a guy who's just, this is straight off the, he is unbelievable. Did you cover the spread? What is your plan?
I was going to tell the world that he was betting.
He's betting baseball. All right, Lenny, go away. It's like, and then what if the ump goes, all right, Lenny, like you're smoking crack. like glass house here.
I got enough against you, sir.
Yeah, glass house here, Lenny.
Next.
I need that sound effect.
Next.
Have you told anybody else's?
You're the first one, man. And one of my book.
You're the first one, except for it's in my book.
Right. You're the first person I've ever told. I just thought of it now.
That's pretty good.
It gets better.
But basically, you're saying you had a dossier on umpires, and you found, you know, if they were cheating around on their wife or doing something like that?
Hey, look, I had to do what I had to do to win and to support my family.
Obviously doing a pretty good job right now. I couldn't get enough of him. So I heard that story and I'm like, all right, I need to do some more digging. And then I found something, speaking of digging, which really might kind of put a true light on how things are going. And I remember reading about this, but I don't think I ever saw the video. So I guess he's a big fan of Jersey Mike's subs.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
So I guess he went to Jersey Mike's one time and loved his sandwich so much that I guess it was a euphoric sensation because he had taken his teeth out, apparently, and put it on his tray, had gummed his Jersey Mike sub, and went to go throw it away and realized about an hour later, I threw my dentures away.
Yeah.
And instead of just calling and seeing if maybe someone there could see if he did it, no, he took it upon himself to go to the dumpster.
Yeah.
Behind Jersey Mike's.
Can you imagine how many more treasures he found?
And dig through the trash. Tell me this doesn't sound like a man who's like just struck himself some gold.
Yeah.
Ready? Okay. Nail's updating on my search. Come on down here. Look, what Nail is doing is looking for my teeth because I broke it down to these two bags. I have black gloves. But what I just learned is all the waste that goes out there. There's some good food in here, man.
You ever hear about that old baseball player that like ran off the mound because he saw a train? There's a story in Ken Burns Baseball that this guy was on the mound and like he was like, you know, something wrong with him, obviously.
He had the yips or yeah.
No. He was like crazy.
Oh, okay.
And then like a train went by. He was like, whoa! And started running after the train.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah, Rube Waddell was his name.
Okay, yeah. And it's in the Ken Burns documentary. Listen to when a car goes by, how excited Lenny Dykstra gets.
Good food in here, man.
Hey! Yes! Now that's a motorcycle.
That's a motorcycle. Oh, yeah. They got motorcycles.
That's a motorcycle. All right, we have more.
Hear that? Yeah, man. That's the nails hanging out in the deep, deep woods, okay? All right, let me find my teeth. I'll be back at you. Turn that thing off.
All right, we'll break, and then when we come back, we'll have more from Lenny Dykstra. He's the greatest.
Oh, he's fantastic, because now his newest venture is next-level stuff. His newest venture, like, it's kind of weird, because now it's like what he's doing for money is just very strange. We got to get him on. We have to get him on.
Vroom! That's the sound a car makes. Dr. Steve Brule.
He did turn into Dr. Steve Brule all of a sudden. Digging
vroom, vroom! Motorcycle!
That does kind of sound like his.
It sounds like if Ryan Lochte got hit in the head with a shovel, which says something. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Okay, Nails updating on my search. Come on down here. Look, what Nails is doing is looking for my teeth because I broke it down to these two bags. I've got gloves. But what I just learned is all the waste that goes out there. There's some good food in here, man.
Good! Yes!
Hear that? Yeah, man. That's the nails hanging out in the deep, deep woods, okay? All right, let me find my teeth. I'll be back at you. Turn that thing off.
All right, so when we played the interview for our 10th anniversary of the station with Charlie Sheen, he called up Lenny Dykstra. Lenny Dykstra obviously not doing so great.
Hey.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And then they got rich.
I'm sorry, real quick. How much money do you think Lenny Dykstra made in his career?
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions. And just to, I mean, you said that he was looked at as some big investment guru
Jim Cramer. Jim Cramer, and he was supposed to be this financial whiz who owned all these car washes, this chain of car washes. He was killing the market. He had this venture that was this, like, Rob Report kind of magazine, luxury magazine that was supposed to go to professional athletes and be about their lifestyles. So, yes, there was one point he was considered, like, a financial guru. And that obviously is not the case anymore.
All right, let me find my teeth.
You got to find his teeth.
You have to find his teeth.
Hey.
Okay. But since then, if you're wondering what he's truly up to right now, do you remember about, I guess it was almost a month ago, a viral video was out there of a diminutive gentleman who was trying to get bagels at a bagel restaurant, and he started screaming at all of the employees and saying that, women always make fun of him, and he started getting in a fight with some of the people in the store. He was nicknamed the Bagel Boss.
Yeah, and I heard him on the Chip Chipperson podcast. Bagel Boss, A, not very self-aware, and B, believes that this is going to ride out for a long time.
Yeah, and he gets in, like, his thing now is he gets in fights with people. And he just picks fights with random people and usually gets hit and slapped around and beaten up pretty bad, but that's his deal. But somebody swooped in and said, well, maybe we can make some money out of this. So now there is going to be a fight, an actual fight that was thrown by celebrity boxing or something like that on the 28th of September. And the actual fight is Bagel Boss and Lenny Dykstra.
Sure.
So they said, Lenny, what do you think about your chances against this Bagel Boss guy? And here's Dykstra, I'm sure, very clear of mind.
What's going to happen is on the 28th of September, you're going to see a ass kicking.
Chris Brooks, bagel guy.
Well, the bagel guy, but everyone hates him. So you know why? Because all he does is whine and cry. But it's not our fault he's got a one-inch. Okay? The bottom line is, listen, he's going to learn about laws. It's going to be this and that. But the bagel guy, I'm going to make him, I'm going to humiliate him, okay? Because he needs to be humiliated. The way he walked in there all arrogant. Like, the guy's got his health. The guy's got his health. He's above ground. It's not our fault he can't get.
Well, in fairness, he is alive.
If that's the standard you're using.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean the guy's alive. I mean, this guy, listen.
I know this feeling. I know I feel like this should be beneath me, but I got to know who wins. Because
if you heard the bagel guy talk for 5 minutes, you'd want Lenny Dykstra to destroy him.
Of course you do. But do you
the bagel guy has got one of his buddies that's like his promoter, and he's like, we're going to see where this goes. You know, the sky's the limit. All right, bagel guy. Like, this is, he was on this for Chip Jefferson, and he's like, you know, we're going to see where all this goes. Like, you know, maybe a TV show.
Sure. Yeah, clothing line.
Exactly.
You know, it's
the bagel guy fever.
The next Sean John.
Yeah, exactly. Bagel guy fever. Little guy that gets in arguments. It's going to sweep the nation. You're going to start counting that dinero, my friend.
We've got Chris Wyman and Jose Reyes coming in next. I would just like, now that's something I would pay to see. See, this one with the Dykstra, I think it's just going to be sad.
Yeah, it's going to, like Dykstra's going to throw up blood. He's going to fall asleep in the corner.
Right, he's going to fall asleep, and the bagel guy's going to be like trying really hard, and it's not even going to hurt him.
Oh, no, I mean, come on.
It's going to be like Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so that's why you took the fight. I'm just gonna
drop and more. I took the fight more to prepare for my boy Mickey Rourke.
All right, so he took the fight to prepare for Mickey Rourke.
It sounds like he's saying Ward there, but he means Mickey Rourke. And I guess
Mickey Rourke looks so good now.
It's like if a catcher's mitt became a human being.
Right, he's got the best plastic surgeons.
Right, so Mickey Rourke and. Once again, ever since Mickey Rourke got that huge pop from being in The Wrestler, where he was excellent, and then he was in, like, I believe he was in The Expendables and Iron Man 2, and then he just kind of disappeared again, and now he's picking fights with Lenny Dykstra. The two of them have been going back and forth. So now not only do you have Lenny Dykstra digging through the trash to find his dentures in the back of a Jersey Mike's, but he's picking fights with Mickey Rourke, and I guess Mickey Rourke got legitimately pissed. So here's a video of Mickey Rourke talking about Lenny Dykstra. I don't know what the hell's going on in his world, but all I know is that Lenny Dykstra, you have to come on with us.
This is like an alternate universe that these people live in.
Right.
Do you think you would fight Lenny Dykstra?
No, I wouldn't fight him. I would knock the living shit out of him the minute that I see him. You punk ass motherfucker. You lying fucker. And Lenny, let me tell you something. When I see you, it's not even going to be hello. I'm going to knock your teeth out again, motherfucker.
I mean, what he said, some like
he gave me $30,000, and I swear on my, I have a brother that I love more than anybody else, and I swear on my brother Joseph, and I swear on my grandmother, that bitch never gave me $30,000.
How does he not have any money?
Right, we worked it okay.
Yeah, like,
he was just in a couple, you know, superhero movies, wasn't he?
As I said, he was in Iron Man 2.
Yeah,
he was like the main bad guy. So he had a nice pop there about 7-8 years ago where you thought he would have done something to capitalize on
it. Well, he screwed up his career in the first place to be a quote-unquote boxer. So that was when he first screwed everything up. Lenny Dykstra, I believe you that he didn't loan you $30,000. You know what? I believe you. I don't believe he loaned you 30 cents. He'd melt it down for copper.
He never gave me and you know what? For him saying that, if I see this motherfucker, I'm going to knock all his teeth out again. You understand? You hear me, Lenny? You punk-ass bitch motherfucker.
Do you think he's trying to avoid you?
Nobody has teeth.
No.
Like, all these people are talking like, brick.
No, these teeth are long gone. These are both guys that have gone through houses to get copper. There's no question about it. How is...
How are they trying to get money from this fight? Like, I'm trying to, like, do you, is it, they're
the
trying
bagel
to,
guy?
Yeah, like a pay-per-view?
I don't know. The bagel guy, it seems like that you would want to put this off till September, too. Because by then, bagel guy mania is just going to get going. Like, why wouldn't you do it yesterday?
Right.
Like, hey.
I already have forgotten who bagel guy was, honestly.
If you heard him for an hour, it's just... He's everything you'd think he was. He's got it made in the shade, baby. I think they do have a clothing line coming out.
Well, he can't use the term Bagel Boss anymore. I guess he just got sued. There is a store called Bagel Boss. So,
well, listen, you know, when you're that high, they're going to try to keep you down. But yeah, and then he brags about his sexual prowess, that he tells these women that he would wear them out. Yeah, the bagel guy is—he's going to be around forever. Oh, Lenny Dykstra!
Oh, I'd watch this. I just don't know how much they're going to charge for it.
Well, if they charge for it, if they charge for it, they're not going to make any money. So it's got
to
be,
because I've been trying to find how they're going to, how this whole thing is like. Where do you find it? Where do you find the fight?
It's going to be at a dump.
I mean, maybe
the winner gets. It's going to be a grocery store, and the winner gets a minute where they can take whatever they want off the shelves.
All right, let me find my teeth. Oh.
Digging through the garbage. All right, is everyone here now? All right, Chris Weidman and Dominic Reyes will be fighting each other. UFC Fight Night is coming up on October 18th at the Garden, and it is going to be very exciting. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. We have both gentlemen who will be in studio. In just a moment, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Anderson, oh my, he got hit! Look at the finish! It is all over! Chris Weidman is the UFC middleweight champion!
What's up, we're Toucher and Rich.
Well, this is interesting because we have in studio Chris Weidman, who's going to be fighting Dominic Reyes, and they are meeting for the very first time right now. There's Chris. There's Dominic. I'm just now learning this. So you guys have never met Dominic. You're coming in studio. You guys have never met face to face before.
Definitely not.
A lot of trash talk on Twitter for two people who have never met before.
Yeah, this guy came right at me. That's some icebreaker. Dominic,
yeah,
come on.
I'm trying to get this money, man. You got to do what you got to do.
I hear you.
Okay, so for people who don't know the background of the trash talk between you guys, where did this all start? Like, what was the origin of your exchange that you guys did?
He said he was going to decapitate me. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Coming at me.
He's going to cut your head off.
Yeah, nice to meet you. How you doing?
Yeah, has that happened in a UFC event?
I was going to say, I don't think that's within the rules.
Well, listen.
I hope not.
Things happen.
I hope
not.
But you guys don't legitimately... there's been fights before where there is a history and there's a backstory and there's true venom. But you guys, you don't have that yet, but I have to think that you're going to find a way to hate him, aren't you, Chris, before you get into the ring, the octagon?
Nah, I mean, I don't really need to hate my opponent. And, like, I feel like when you get emotional and angry in there, I feel like it slows you down. You can't really rely on your instincts. And I think you want to be as calm and cool as you possibly can when you get in there.
Have you lost it before because it was too personal? Have you lost focus when you were in the octagon because of that?
I felt that before. Yeah, and I feel like I fight better when I'm just chilled out, relaxed, and whatever. So no matter what the guy says, I just go out there and make it like another spar match.
Who made it the most personal for you?
Probably Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, your buddy.
Yeah, my buddy Luke Rockhold. Friends, yeah, yeah.
Where did he go?
He pissed me off pretty bad. So, yeah, no, I lost that fight. That was my first loss ever. And then we had an immediate rematch that was set, and then I had surgery 2 weeks before the fight, and that's when Michael Bisping came in and ended up knocking him out. And then I figured we were going to fight at some point, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen anymore. He lost his last fight pretty bad, and he hasn't fought in a while. And, yeah, I don't know. I think he might be retiring.
What did he say that made it feel so personal?
He was coming at, like, my family, and, like, when you have a family, you can't really work that hard because – he's single, and being single, you have more time to focus on yourself, and you know that whole thing. It wasn't really anything he was saying; it was just how douchey he was, just as a person. So I gotta be honest,
the douchey way he carried himself.
Yeah, like, he honestly was just so dumb, and so no matter what he said, didn't really bother me. It was just the way he came across.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, Dominic, do you find Chris to be douchey when he speaks about you?
No, I don't find Chris to be douchey at all.
Compliment.
Chris is. He was a great champion, man. He carries himself like a champion. So, something to be respected, you know.
Thank you, man.
Admired at a point in my career. But it's a new time, and this is my time now.
Not really selling this fight.
He's been thinking about that line.
All right, so you mentioned.
I want to give Dominic a little bit of ammo.
He lived on Long Island for a while, too, right? Which is like around the block from me.
Dude, where?
Broke guy.
Where in Long Island?
I was going to ding dong ditch your house a couple weeks ago.
You don't know where I live.
Yeah, I do.
We call it ring and run in Long Island.
Dude, what are you talking about, man? It's my island now, dude.
Where in Long Island are you guys from?
I'm from California.
Yeah, he's from California.
Went to college in Long Island.
Okay.
All right.
You played football.
Actually, yeah.
You played at Stony Brook.
Yes.
I saw you on Instagram.
You saw my highlights?
Yeah.
Smashing fools.
That's right.
Yep.
Did you get any look? Did the NFL take a look at you?
I did the combine. Didn't get a look. Pissed me off. So I started punching people in the face to get over my pain inside.
I'm just going
to
slide over a little bit.
All right, Dominic, so you're playing football. I'm interested in how you guys get into this because, you know, sometimes, like, when you hear, like, Joe Rogan talk about it or you hear some of these guys that are into MMA, that it started as something to gain confidence as, like, a kid. Like, that...
What's your origin story? Like, what was the thing that made you say, all right, well, now I have to switch from, as you said, being a football star into, like, was there a moment that you said, I'm really good at beating guys
up?
Or when you
started wrestling or whatever your specialty is, you started doing jiu-jitsu, is there any, like, how did that all start for you guys?
So I wrestled all throughout high school. I did real well. But I got a football scholarship, so I stopped wrestling. After football, well, during college, my brother has his own gym. He's also in the UFC, Alex Reyes. And when during college, on my breaks, I'd go home and train MMA to cross train, you know, like better balance, things like that, pulling the sports together. And when I was done, I was really pissed off and I had a lot of anger because I was making no money. I had a college degree and I had a lot to be mad about, you know, that I didn't even get a shot. So I used that aggression and that energy and put it all into MMA, like pretty much everything into it. I had to learn how to punch. I had to learn it all from the beginning. And after my first amateur fight, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm real good at this because I finished that guy in like 12 seconds or something like that.
Well, if you need any kind of material to get you, you know, pumped about this fight against Chris Weidman, I have three words for you. Kevin can wait.
Ooh.
What's wrong with that?
Chris Weidman,
the worst
star of Kevin Can Wait.
Kevin Can Wait.
Wait. Kevin James.
Are you
the worst? Oh, you didn't like Kevin Can Wait.
What?
Oh, please. What? That was on for. Oh.
Come on. Leah Remini came on. It was.
Yeah,
like,
they just remade King of Queens.
They killed off the wife. Yeah. They just randomly
killed. I'm glad you tuned in.
Oh, okay. I watched every episode. You were Monkey Paw Security, weren't you?
What's that?
Monkey Fist, right?
No. I was a cop. I was Nick Dawson. But I know the Monkey Fist Security skit.
Okay.
Because the reason you watched every episode. episode is because it was so formulaic that he would play a clip and I would guess what happened after it. And I hit like I was hitting like 900 on that thing. What are you, friends with Kevin James?
Are you guys kidding me?
You don't like
you
that show.
That's my acting debut. That's all I got.
I didn't say you were bad.
Are you kidding me?
I never saw the show because I wasn't allowed to watch it.
I was going to name drop that show before you guys even brought it up. Now you guys killed it. Now I got no material. Jeez, came at me. Jeez.
So Kevin James is. How does this happen? How do you get on? Yeah, so
Long Island guy.
He's a Long Island guy. So we actually became friends. A few years ago, actually like 5-6 years ago, and then he had this show, and he said he had a part that would be perfect. And then next thing I know, I'm like this guy who's perfect at everything, better than Adam Sandler and Kevin James at everything they do, every sport. And then their main thing that they do together is singing. They kill it at the karaoke bar. And then I come in that, because they think that's the one thing they're going to have over me.
Uh-huh.
And then I show up at the end and I crush karaoke. I sing opera and like everyone's dropping their glasses and like, you know, crying.
So you had a major role.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah. Like my first time acting, I'm standing in between Adam Sandler and Kevin James. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here right now? Okay. And it was amazing. Yeah. They took me under their wing and made me feel super comfortable, and it was a good experience.
Did they explain why they killed the wife?
It was a recurring role.
Why they killed the wife?
You had a recurring role?
Yeah, it was a recurring role. Yeah, it was on 4 episodes.
Oh. Dominic can't keep a straight face.
My bad.
What? Are you kidding me? It's huge. I get residuals.
Oh, really? So you got the hookup on
that too? I'm saying, man, you got all this shit. You're trying to take my shit.
Oh,
right.
My God.
You're trying to take my little slice of the pie.
Right.
You can't swear for a minute.
Stuff.
I'm over here.
I got to break. I got to break.
We've done three dumps.
I got to break.
All right. If you promise.
No. We can't. I got to break. All right. We'll be right back.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub.
Tusher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Anderson. Oh!
Rich is playing the theme to the show that Kevin James had on. Chris, listen, you got to take the mic.
I am not your ordinary guy.
But when he's not acting, Chris Weidman, when he'll be fighting Dominic Reyes, UFC Fight Night on ESPN is going to be Friday, October 18th at the Garden. UFC returns to Boston for the sixth time with a thrilling light heavyweight main event. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com starting this Friday at 10 a.m. So before you started going crazy swearing.
Well, I think a lot of people might not have known how that break ended.
Well, that's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Is that Dominic swore a bunch of times. I had to break because you only get three. But Dominic, you were saying, so part of like your thing is that, you know, Weidman's been doing this for a while. And, you know, he's got these other things, so he's got money, and now you're chasing money, like, right now. So that is a motivator.
Yes.
You feel that he's set and that he's made his, and now it's your time to make yours.
Yes. And
I wish I was set.
Well, you get the residuals from
King Queens. You got the residuals.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That
if helps. It only went to syndication.
Thanks to Kevin Can Wait. I'm doing all right.
So when you look at a guy like Chris, who's been, I mean, there's a lot of tape on him. I mean, you've been fighting for how many years? Are you 12, 13 years now into the?
My first professional fight was 2009, so about 10 years.
Oh, wow. So about 10 years now. So there's a lot of tape on Chris. And, like, how much of that do you go back, or how much of that does it even matter to you?
You can only watch a certain amount of tape. When somebody fights you, they're going to fight differently. And they're always going to make wrinkles. He's moving up a weight class, so he's going to obviously doing things a little different. I watch tape, but you could only watch so much. he's the guy closest to me that he's fought is Rockhold, and Rockhold is nothing like me. So,
well, 10 years of fighting, how do you bounce back? I mean, how do you continue to, because I mean, somebody gets in one fight like that, like a normal human being, and it jacks them up for a lifetime. As many fights as you've been in, how do you get your body back in fighting shape once again to be able to do it that many years?
I don't know. I don't feel like it's that many years. But I don't know. I just, you know, I'm super competitive, and I believe I'm the best in the world. And now I'm going up a weight class, and it's always been a goal of mine to be a champion at 205. And it just, right now is the right time to make that move. I feel like the weight cut was getting a little tough, and I feel way healthier, you know, less on my mind with not worrying about dealing with the weight cut. That was a mental drain for me. So I feel just way fresher, and it's nice to just kind of grow into my body and not have to worry about depleting it.
Do you have I'm sorry.
You have a gym. This was interesting. You know, do you both have gyms?
I do not.
Okay, so but you have your own gym, Chris,
yes,
right?
Yep, me and Longo.
Okay, and I got two questions about it. First, the bagel guy works out there, which I find fascinating. Yeah, yeah.
And you've seen him work out?
He's the number one prospect in our gym right now.
What's his weight class?
He's fully confident and ready to go. Jeez, listen, I'm not a bully, okay? He's gone through a lot in his life, right. And now he's got a little attention, and he's living
God bless him.
Yeah,
listen,
you know what? He's a happy guy right now.
He's fighting
happier
Lenny Dykstra.
Happier than he's ever been.
Yeah, he's fighting Lenny Dykstra. It should be old thing. But
see, he's the kind of guy, if he's in the
did
gym.
Did I see something with Mickey Rourke? Were you guys talking
yeah,
about
yeah, yeah. So,
that's Dykstra.
That's Dykstra wants to fight Mickey Rourke.
Oh, okay. I thought the bagel guy was calling out Mickey Rourke. I'm like, this guy really, we have a great gym and some great trainers, but I don't know if that's
going to Dykstra might pass out during the fight just from exhaustion.
He might get killed, bagel guy, because I see him being the kind of guy who would get real confident one day and try to like pick a fight with you.
You see that in that first video. I mean, he wasn't backing down from that monster who just tackled him to the floor. Yeah, I don't think he's afraid of much.
Yeah, he's a little delusional. Yeah. All right, so when you both of you guys, when you're training and you're training with, and I understand like the mechanisms and how like it's cerebral it is when what you guys are doing, and you're fighting someone or you're training with someone that's less skilled than you, which is, you know, almost everybody. How difficult is it to know? Because I hear guys talking about this who train. How difficult is it to like know, like when to stop, like that? You know, like the lesson's been learned. Like let's. I don't want to kill this guy.
In training, you're saying?
Yeah, like if you're training with a guy, or you know, that's you know, obviously not as skilled as you.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to submissions and stuff, they tap. So usually that's usually what ends it. When it comes to like stand up and if you start landing some big shots, I used to when I was coming up, I just thought coming from a wrestling background, my goal is to knock out these guys when I'm training, or you know, finish them with body shots or leg kicks, something, some way to make them quit. Mm-hmm. But as you kind of grow in the sport, you realize like that's not really nice to do, and you lose sparring partners that way.
Right.
And so if you hit somebody with a crazy leg kick and then you could see them they're in pain, I'll kind of like mix it up now, go to the head. Or if I hit them with a big shot, you can see they're a little stunned, I'll start messing with the body. So you kind of mix it up to not crush them completely.
Yeah, that's got to be tough, though.
The Devastator might be trying to kill his sparring partners. I don't know.
Oh, we're professionals, so we know. I mean, we have a better understanding of how the body works and what's going on. When you hit someone, you can see it in their body language. So there's not a reason to really beat up your sparring partners. And then at this level, we only really train with high level guys.
Yeah.
I'm not training with regular guys that I could really hurt. You know, the guys I'm training with can really defend themselves really well. So it's good matches. It's not really a lot of beating people up. It's just getting better. My focus when I train is get better. It's not, there's no ego. I have no ego when I'm not like out there, oh, let me beat up this guy real bad for what? I'm not getting paid for that. I'm getting paid to beat up this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where it is.
Now, this is something that was in the news recently, so I want to ask you guys about it just because it involves a guy that I know that at least Chris, you know. But Conor McGregor recently, at that video that came out of him hitting that man in the bar.
Yeah.
What was your opinion of that when you saw that?
I think that was messed up, man. I mean, I don't know what was going on, but I could tell you, you know, if I was in that situation, I don't think, you know, older guy like that could say anything to me where I'm going to hit him from the side and give him a shot. I thought that was kind of real low. on Connor's behalf, but I don't know. Obviously, he's going to go down.
But the guy just sat there.
He took it, like,
and then he just like kind of looked up and like took a sip of his beer.
Get this guy out of here.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. Like, hey, I mean, it looked like they're in Ireland, right? And they're in some whiskey bar or something. They're all enjoying their whiskeys during the day, and all of a sudden, crazy Conor McGregor walks in with proper whiskey, pouring everybody shots and trying to get everybody to enjoy it. And the guy was like, I'm good, man. He might, who knows if he even knew who he was.
Right. Should he fight again in the UFC? Does something like that make you kind of, like, should the UFC do anything after that? Because I love Conor McGregor. I've loved him for years. I mean, obviously, he's an unbelievable fighter and a dynamic. I mean, the guy can talk trash about as good as anybody.
Yeah, he's the most entertaining dude there is.
But he's done a couple things in the past that have been like, all right, man. But that video was the final straw, I think, with me. If you just punch an old dude.
It's not okay.
So what do you do? What would you, I mean, do you think that he should fight again or that?
I think he wants to fight again. I think that's the only way for him to kind of get past this. It's kind of like the NBA, like Kobe thing, like play your way out of it, you know, fight your way out of it in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that was low, you know, that wasn't cool.
Yeah. All right.
So real quick, I got to ask you about Derek Lewis, because Derek Lewis, you want to talk about guys who talk? Yeah. Mr. My Balls was hot, so I took his pants off.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Lewis, like, straight up admits that he doesn't train for some of these fights. He just shows up. He's completely out of shape. Yeah. How often does that happen at the UFC where, because that can't be a regular occurrence where someone just doesn't train.
That's a heavyweight thing for sure. For sure.
If you're going to get away with it, it's heavyweight. Yeah. What a rare breed, man. You don't see that often.
Yeah.
No.
I hate the treadmill. I hate training.
Yeah, he trains.
I don't know if he's messing with us, and this guy's just crushing marathons. Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen him. So. I don't think he's crushing marathons.
He's
clearing six footers, is what he's doing. That guy's coming in high. All right, listen, it's going to be a great fight. Dominic Reyes, Chris Weidman, Friday, October 18th at the Garden. This is the first time they've met. They came separately. You got the radio station.
You got a Methuen native. Is the undercard right? Calvin.
He's a tough dude, man. Up and comer, and he's got a really tough fight. They didn't give him an easy fight for Boston.
Yeah,
they gave him a really tough dude, and I guess the upside's huge for him, though. You know, big win over him. He's shot right up in the top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same for you, man.
That's true. I mean, it's the same thing for you.
Trying to move up. I'm already in the top five, man.
I'm not worried about the rankings. I'm saying
you're not even in the top five at middleweight.
That's true. He's coming at me now, but I'm not worried about the rankings. I know when I beat you.
But you are, though, because then you'll possibly get a title shot, maybe.
It doesn't matter who I fight.
You're trying to get to the title, right?
I'm
trying to get to the title.
The goal is to get to the title.
My goal is to get to the title, get paid. By beating you, hopefully, if I beat you bad enough, then that's enough to get me a title shot.
And honestly, I don't care how many fights it takes me to get a title fight. I've done that before. I was desperate. I want to fight for the title. I want my title back. But this time, I'm taking my time. I'm plan of going out there and dominating you, and then
taking your time to find the number four guy in a weight class above you. All right.
Hey, I don't. What am I
taking your time?
No, it's definitely a tough fight. It's a tough fight. It's a fight that excites me. It's very, very tough challenge. But that if you look at my resume, that's the only guys I fight are really good guys.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And I want to be the best, and you got to beat the best, right?
Exactly.
You think you're the best? I think I'm the best.
Exactly.
So let's get this.
That's why it's gonna be a good fight, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited.
The guy with the sweaty balls isn't the best. All right. Well, listen. It sounds like it's going to be a great fight. He's playing the theme to the show again.
There we go.
All right.
Tickets. Nick Dawson's back.
Well, listen. If James gave you the thing, he's been nothing but a dick to me every time I've met him. Tickets are available. No, I'm not lying. Yeah,
that's the buzzer word.
What are you talking about? It's a nice guy there is.
Really?
Yeah,
because you're off and do stuff that he likes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com starting Friday, August 23rd. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We appreciate it. The UFC certainly makes you guys travel and hype this stuff. We always appreciate when you guys come in.
Thanks always for having us.
All right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Brady on her Saturday. A dog to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Gillette Stadium will be lit. Back in the field, preseason game number 3 tonight.
Touchdown, Patriots! 98.5.
the Sports Hub brings you official pregame coverage with Mark Bertrand and Chris Gasper, starting at 4:30 from Splitsville at Patriot Place. Dan Roach from WBC and Matt Chatham have the preseason call of the game on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. The Patriots host the Carolina Panthers at 7:30. This is the home of every Patriots game. 98.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.